Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for your for the other 95%. I'm the aptly named host. Oh, do I hope you were with me last week? I'd be in distress if I learned that you had missed last week's show, which started with Small Shop Planned Giving. Claire Meyerhoff is the principal of the Planned Giving Agency and this show's creative producer. We talked about marketing gift planning in ways that are not same old for small and mid-sized charities. Claire turned the tables and interviewed me at last year's National Conference on Philanthropic Planning. And last week, events technology. Scott Kegler was with me to help you with event planning. He shared free tools to collaborate with the volunteers, employees, and vendors who are putting your events together. Scott is our regular technology contributor and the editor of Nonprofit Technology News. This week, Abbondanza Alliances, Rosanna Imbriano, a true Italian and principal of RI Consulting, encourages you to secure strategic alliances that expand your marketing and save your marketing budget because they cost you nothing. And Claire's Clichés, Claire Meyerhoff returns 2 weeks in a row. It's too much already. She's principal of the Planned Giving Agency and still creative producer of this show. This week, she's got clichés, plenty of clichés for you to avoid and simpler words to replace them. Jargon Jail is sure to be overcrowded this week. Between the guests on Tony's Take Two, my blog this week is 7 Tips for Small Shop Planned Giving. I don't think that requires any explanation. Are you on Twitter while you're listening? If you are, use the hashtag nonprofitradio to join our conversation. At this moment, we take a break. And when we return, Rosanna Imbriano and Abbondanza Alliances. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Join the Metaphysical Center of New Jersey and the Association for Higher Awareness for 2 exciting events this fall, live, just minutes from New York City in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. Dr. Judith Orloff will address her bestseller, Emotional Freedom, and Greg Braden will discuss his latest book, Deep Truth, Living on the Edge. Are you ready for 12-21-12? Save the dates. Judith Orloff, October 18th, and Greg Braden, November 9th and 10th. For early bird tickets, visit metaphysicalcenterofnewjersey.org or ahanj.net.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators. And I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. With me now is Rosanna Imbriano. She is a marketing strategist and consultant. She's the owner of RI Consulting, which you'll find at riconsultingllc.com. She is past president of the Essex chapter of New Jersey Association of Women Business Owners and is marketing director for the Center for Italian and Italian-American Culture. Buongiorno, signora. Welcome.
Buongiorno, Tony. Actually, buon pomeriggio.
Uh-oh, I'm all stumped already. What does that mean? Good afternoon?
That means good afternoon.
Okay, thank you. I said, well, good. Buongiorno is okay. Can I use that anytime?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. There'll be plenty of opportunities for you to correct me, so don't... don't jump at small things that I get half right.
Well, you've already tagged me as the true Italian, so I have to live up.
You gotta live
up.
All right. We're talking about strategic alliances, abbondanza alliances. What is your definition of a strategic alliance?
A strategic alliance are two entities that are committed to each other's success.
It's that simple?
That simple.
Okay. What sort of things do they do together? Why are they committed to each other's success?
Well, first of all, because it's beneficial to both of them. You want to start when you're dealing with a nonprofit to look at where are their supporters coming from. Is there a common thread? Is there something that is unique to both of them? And you start to develop a plan of what do they need to do together? What are their goals? What are they looking to accomplish?
Okay,
and you kind of put it down on paper.
Okay, so we're starting to look for commonalities.
Mm-hmm.
Something
correct.
In common, maybe could be same constituency, could be related work.
Mm-hmm.
Could be one's work and maybe one's interest in joining that work, but they're not currently doing it. Would that be an acceptable partner?
Yes, acceptable. Someone whose mission statement is similar.
Okay. I polled the listeners before the show and asked, have you looked outside your organization for other charities or companies you can ally yours with?
Correct.
I think it's very positive. 100% said yes, they have done that.
Okay.
And the other option was no, I better listen to the show. So hopefully people other than the survey listeners are listening to the show. Because if it's only the survey completers, because if it was only the survey completers, then they wouldn't be listening to the show unless they wanted to get even more than just strategic alliances from it. So hopefully there's other people, but I'm sure there are.
Yes, and it also is that maybe those people who are actually doing things and have developed these strategic alliances can do it more efficiently.
They want to learn more. Exactly. That's why they're listening to the show.
Correct.
What a business development person you are for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have identified that we can save some money at this, too. I mean, these don't need to be costly, right?
Yes, it is a myth in the marketing community that in order to create business or create revenue, you need to throw money at marketing.
Mm.
Okay, you don't really have to spend the thousands of dollars. Some of it is right underneath your nose in terms of developing business. It's just a different way of thinking outside the box.
And so for little or no money, we can also get sort of a multiplier effect because you're going to be learning and gaining from your alliance partner.
Correct. I have actually had nonprofits I'm working with or have worked with in the past that have increased their donations or they're giving 10% with a one strategic alliance.
Hmm. Okay. But of course, it doesn't end with increased giving. You could maybe increase volunteers or maybe gain new board members, right? I mean, there's other things besides just giving. Go ahead. Say
well, in the nonprofit world, we're always looking to do a lot more with less. Mm. And we all know that. If you've been in nonprofit, you know that, especially in these economic times. So you're trying to think outside the box of what can you do? How can you multiply your success? Whether it's having people attend an event, whether it's donations, whether it's membership. There's so many different ways. And you can have strategic alliances in different areas that don't necessarily all have to result in just donations. Sure. That's the in-the-box thinking. You need to step out of the box.
Okay. So are there other things than the ones I mentioned that could be gained from a strategic alliance?
Yes. For instance, you definitely have membership. You have donations. You have attendance at different events. Mm. If you're doing a huge fundraiser, and you want to have 200 people there, well, how do you get 400 people there? So it's different things that you want to look at. You want to align yourself with maybe different vendors that are providing services to the nonprofit, different other organizations that have the same mission statement. It's endless.
Okay. We have just about a minute before a break, so why don't we just start to talk about how do you start to find these partners? And then we'll take a break and continue it.
Okay. What I usually do when I'm working with nonprofits is ask them where their supporters are coming from and kind of get a baseline of what they've done in the past and what they haven't tried. And then I go a little bit further and then start to do the creative part.
Okay, thinking beyond what they've been doing.
Correct.
Okay. All right, we're going to take our break. When we return, La Signora, the true Italian, Rosanna Imbriano, stays with me. She's a marketing strategist and consultant, and we're going to continue talking about strategic alliances. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative.
La luna in cielo e io brucio d'amore, fuoco così consuma come lune cuori, l'anima chiange addolorata, non si dà pace ma chi ma l'ha notata, il tempo passa ma.
That's not Booker T and the MGs. That is Michael Castaldo. He's singing Brucia la Terra, the theme from The Godfather. The reason I decided to play that is because Michael introduced me to Rosanna. And I wanted to give a shout to Michael. You can hear more of his music at michaelcastaldo.com. Che bella voce. See, signora?
Molto bella.
Che bella voce means what a beautiful
voice.
Voice, of course. Let's see. I'm all a flutter now with different music. I'm used to Booker T and the MGs singing Jelly Roll. Okay. We were talking about how you start to find these strategic partners that are going to be with in alliance with you.
Okay.
How do we get started with that?
Well, we definitely have to have a baseline. And when I'm working with a new nonprofit, you need a baseline. You need to know what they've done in the past and what they have not tried, according to the strategy I implement with them. And start to look at alliances that they currently have, and then look at alliances that they may need to develop. I am definitely in the frame of mind to understand and to to isolate that this does not need to be a process in which you need to spend a lot of money to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You may spend some money in furthering relationships, but not necessarily to develop them. And then once you've identified, you know, and you've identified a partner, you want to know what their goals are, what
okay.
their goals are, what your goals are.
But wait, let's not go too fast. We still
okay.
have to need some help identifying mm-hmm. the right partners. For, and,
okay.
and, of course, a consultant could be indispensable for this, mm-hmm. but there are smaller charities that may need to do it on their own. I would think networking is a part of trying to find the right organization, right? You want to be out there.
Absolutely.
In the community?
Absolutely. You want to have a very professional web presence.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the charities that I have worked with have excellent websites, very easy to use, very that you can maneuver and find them very easily. They have a very clear, clean look that helps them, whatever makes the process simple.
Right.
And if you make it difficult for people to find you, they're not going to find you, obviously.
And while they're looking for you, you can be out on the web looking for okay. for partners as well. How would that research? What does that research look like?
Well, it depends on identifying what you're looking for. That's half the battle. And once you've identified the type of person, the type of alliance that you want, then it makes it easier to search the web, of course.
Okay. And we've been talking about outside partners, but this you could have an alliance with people that are already known to you. They're not sure how to help you, right?
Correct. Or they're not sure of how to help you. So when you have
right.
these partners, they act as an advisory board, as a board of directors that can help you grow your business and vice versa.
Okay. I got to send some live listener love out. Troutdale, Oregon, welcome. Carrollton, Texas. Welcome. Dalton, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Welcome. Live listener love going out to the Pacific Northwest and the South Mid and the Southeast. You talked a little about goals. What might some of the goals of these strategic alliances be?
The goal for any nonprofit, of course, is donations,
okay.
memberships, getting people out to events, attendances. If you have a golf outing and you have no one that comes, it's no use. Or if you're promoting that golf outing 3 weeks before an event, it's not working. But if you take your database and within the database you have organizations that you're aligned with that have an email database of 10,000 each, you've then multiplied your success.
Okay, right. So there's your multiplier
mm-hmm.
because you're going to be sharing marketing in your example. You're going to be sharing marketing with them and they'll be sharing with you and
correct.
There's your multiplier. Okay.
But those, of course, are relationships that are concrete, that are developed, and there's a win-win for both parties.
Right. So now how do you translate some of your goals or your specific goals for the alliance into the right strategic alliance partners?
Well, because you're going to determine what the goal is for both parties. You're going to determine what are both parties looking to get out of the relationship, and is it feasible? And
okay.
you're going to evaluate that over a period of time.
But I mean, as you're doing your research to try to find the right partners,
mm-hmm.
how do you go from the goal of, you know, we want more people at our golf outing next year
mm-hmm.
to finding the partners that are going to help you do that? To researching, you know, finding the right
yeah.
potential partners.
Right. You're going to see if you can find the people who are committed, the people who have a vested interest in your organization, in
mm-hmm.
your mission, and may be a partner for that particular event, a corporation, a donor, a sponsor.
Okay. Okay. And when we have identified the right alliance partner or partners,
mm-hmm.
then I assume there's some negotiation that goes on. Say a little about that.
Yeah, you want to. I don't get too involved in the the process. What I'd like to do is basically to write the goals down and to have both parties sign it so that we know 6 months from now what have we committed to and what was your portion of the deal and what is my portion of the deal, and agree to that, because over a period of time people tend to forget what they promised each other.
Right. So,
and then evaluate it.
Okay. And we'll get to those steps. But the process of negotiating what's going to be in the agreement, mm-hmm. you know, you've got to give some, I've got to give some, and mm-hmm. there's going
to
be
a... goals we're trying to accomplish.
I'm sorry? Say it.
Based on what goals both parties are trying to accomplish.
Okay. Right. And now you said you like to see this in a signed writing. Should both parties actually be signing this?
I believe that you should have the commitment, yes. My attitude has changed quite a bit over the last couple of years on that, Tony, only because, like I said, people have short memories.
Sounds like your clients got screwed, is what you're saying.
Well, no. You know, they'll say, well, nah, I didn't promise you that. Well, yes, you did.
Okay.
People forget what they sit down when you're having a meeting, and people forget. So a one-page document of both parties' responsibilities, signed by both parties, I think makes more sense.
Okay. And is it usually the executive directors, CEOs, that you see having these conversations, or is it somewhere lower or board level? What?
Depending on nonprofits, it's usually the executive director. Yes.
Mm, okay. Okay. And of course, there's an important something else you touched on: evaluation.
Of course. Yeah.
Let's say something about evaluating this.
Well, in order for this strategic alliance to work, both parties have to be committed. It has to be a win-win. If one party is winning and the other one is losing, then over a period of time, it's just going to fall apart. So you want to make sure that you evaluate it every 3 months so that neither one of the parties is wasting too much time if the alliance is not working, or if the alliance is working, just to how do we make it work more efficiently.
Okay, so we go back to that written document and evaluate based on that?
Correct, and then make the adjustments.
Okay, and we can't be afraid to cut ties when things aren't going so well.
Correct. If
right.
it's not working for either party, it really is not. It's a waste of time and money.
Okay. Do you have a client example of a successful alliance that you want to share?
Yeah. Actually, for the nonprofit I am currently involved with, which is the Center for Italian and Italian American Culture, it's an organization that has been in existence 21 years. I've been in my position for the last 3.5. Last year, we were able to produce for our annual fundraiser event $72,000 in one night.
Okay, and that was a significant increase, I assume, over past years?
Correct. It was one of the most successful in 21 years.
Okay, so it's not like the year before was $71,500?
No, not at all.
Okay.
We
okay.
probably took it to the point where we either doubled or tripled the success.
Okay. Okay. I polled listeners for their own success around strategic alliances, and mm-hmm. about 85% said either they've done this either very successfully or somewhat successfully. About 15% said no, not so successful. What mm-hmm. what problems have you seen that we can help listeners overcome
okay.
and avoid?
When you're developing these alliances, both parties need to be committed. Okay, sometimes you have situations in which one party is not as committed as the other. And so there's sort of an imbalance there.
So like, even though they commit, they're not really committed.
Correct.
They make
or
promises,
they
but...
They don't promise, they promise and don't deliver.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay.
So how do you make sure that your alliance partner is serious?
Well, you start by choosing the right partners. It's just like a marriage. You start by choosing the right partner.
Right.
And if it's you're not choosing the right partner from the beginning, it really makes no difference how much effort or time or money you're putting into it. It's really not going to work.
So, exactly. But how do we make sure that we're getting the right partner? Like instinct and research? Or, you know, what's your advice around making sure we got that right partner?
You have to kind of feel it out. It's every relationship is different. It depends on whether it's a new relationship or something that has been there's a history there. You have to really evaluate. Each individual situation is different, but you want to trust your gut instinct. If your instinct, for me, it's instinct, not for a lot of other people. I can pretty much read whether the relationship is going to work or not work for the nonprofit or a client.
Okay. And probably a good idea to maybe start small in your alliance. Start with a smaller project you do together is what I mean, something like that.
Yeah, something maybe that works that way, but there are many times, like in your particular industry, finding a person who has a lot of money that they want to donate to a charity would be wonderful. You know, something like that, how do you start small? You really don't. It's a person who either wants to do it or they don't. So it's very simple. It's a simple process. Mm-hmm. And my job as a consultant to these entities is just to make the process simple for both parties.
Okay. Rosanna, why don't you share with us what it is that you really love about bringing the right parties together? What really moves you about this work?
Okay. We're fortunate to live in the United States of America where nonprofits thrive. And that there's a nonprofit for every mission, every possible issue out there. And what brings me is the satisfaction. I had for many years and continue to have a client who every Christmas donates to an organization called Oasis in Patterson. And the client donates thousands of dollars every year to this nonprofit so women and children could have a wonderful Christmas, which they wouldn't ordinarily have. And for me, those kind of matching up people for a greater good is really what I live for.
Hmm. Okay. And how long have you been doing this work?
I've actually been doing this all my life, but in my own business for about 12 years.
All right. Now, you contributed to a book by New Jersey women business owners. Why don't you tell people what about that book and where they can find it?
Okay, the book is called Jersey Women Mean Business, The Big Bold Business Advice from New Jersey Business Women Owners, Business Owners, I'm sorry. And they could get the book at woodpeckerpress.com, www.woodpeckerpress.com. It is a compilation of 72 business women across the state of New Jersey. It was the brainchild of the publisher, Donna Thompson, to bring all these business women and their expertise to the economy and to grow the economy
okay.
in New Jersey.
Now, all the contributors are not Italian, though, are they?
They are not, but out of the 72, we have about 21, 22 women that are Italian and Italian-American descent, yes.
A third to... Okay, that's pretty good. All right, we'll still recommend the book. Okay.
Yep. We still will, Tony.
Of course you will. Okay. You'll find that at woodpeckerpress.com.
Donna Thompson, by the way, is Italian-American. So is our editor, Joyce Rustano, and our graphic design person, Raquel Bonacisa. So all these women together are forced to be reckoned with.
Okay. Along with you.
Yes.
Rosanna Imbriano is a marketing strategist and consultant. You'll find her at RI Consulting. LLC.com. I assume RI is not Rhode Island. That's Rosanna Imbriano.
No.
Okay. That's quite a coincidence. If you were in Rhode Island, that would be even better.
That would be even
okay.
more.
Rosanna, thank you very much for being a guest.
Tony, it's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you, and I think what you're doing for nonprofits is a tremendous asset in that industry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Although buttering me up is not going to get you on the show, so it's too late for that. But
okay. But
thank you for your kind words. I got to send live listener love to Somerset, New Jersey, Mountain View, California, cool, Reston, Virginia, all these different states. I love it. Live listener love out to California, Virginia, and New Jersey, where Rosanna Imbriano is from. Stay with me, and when we return, it's Tony's Take Two, and then Claire's Clichés.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi. Hi, this is Nancy Tatro from Speak Spin Radio. Speak Spin Radio is an exploration of the world of communication, how it happens, and how to make it better. Because the quality of your communication has a direct impact on the quality of your life. Tune in Mondays at 2 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com, where I'll be interviewing experts from business, academia, the arts, and new thought. Join me Mondays at 2 p.m. and get all your communications questions answered on Speak Spin Radio.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, @MontyTaylor.com.
How's your game? Want to improve your performance, focus, and motivation? Then you need Aspire Athletic Consulting. Stop second-guessing yourself. Move your game to the next level. Bring back the fun of the sport. Help your child build confidence and self-esteem through sports. Contact Dale at Aspire Athletic Consulting for a free 15-minute power session to get unstuck today. Your greatest athletic performance is just a phone call away at 801-604-0294 or visit aspireconsulting.vpweb. Motivational coaching for athletic excellence. Aspire to greatness.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
If you have big ideas and an average budget, tune into the way above average Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I do. I'm Jonah Halper from Next Gen Charity.
Welcome back. It's time for Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes into the hour. My blog this week is 7 Tips for Small Shop Planned Giving, and I want to focus on just the very first one of those 7, which is you don't have to be big to be successful at planned giving. Lots of opportunity in planned giving for small shops. You basically just start with bequests or IRAs or something that's just simple for people to understand and easy for them to execute, and that's very common in people's lives, like a will or like an IRA or a pension. And you just encourage people to include your charity in one of those methods. You don't have to have expertise and sophistication, either on your board or as consultant or even on your development staff. I just want to break down the perception and the myth that you have to be a big shop to be successful in planned giving. It's just not so. And there are 6 other tips for small shop planned giving on my blog, which is at TonyMartinetti.com. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, September 21st, the 40th show of the year. Now, at the break, I had a text message. Someone requested that I play Mala Femina, which I, again, my bad Italian, but I'm going to assume Mala Femina means bad lady. And here's our bad lady, Claire Meyerhoff. Claire Meyerhoff, how are you? Welcome.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always to have you back. Claire is, of course, principal of the Planned Giving Agency, and she's creative producer of this very show. And this week, we're talking about Claire's cliches. Why are cliches bad, Claire?
Well, cliches are bad because they're old and they're tired and they're worn out. And when you're a nonprofit trying to inspire people to volunteer for your cause, care about your cause, and especially donate money to your cause, then your writing should not be tired and worn out. It should be fresh and vibrant and draw you in.
Okay, but these are phrases and sometimes just single words that we all understand. There's a common understanding, even if they're maybe a little wordy. What's the problem with everybody, you know, if you're using something that everybody grasps easily?
Well, you know, it depends on every single situation. So in some situations when you have no time to think and you're in a real hurry and, you know, a cliche is what comes to mind, well, yeah, then just, you know, spit it out and use it. And if your audience is, you know, inspired by that word, great. But for the most part, what I find is that when people do use cliches, and these are things like, you know, saying ahead of schedule or, you know, there's millions of them, and we'll go through a list. But when people use cliches, oftentimes it's just because they're in a habit, right? It's a habit of using it. And a lot of times what it signals to me is that if you're in, like, a habit of using these phrases over and over, like make a difference, maybe it's time for something new. And perhaps you need to rethink your entire communications system and what you're doing and what you're telling people if you're falling back all the time on cliches and jargon.
Okay. I assume you also would argue for economy of words, maybe using fewer words sometimes to say the same thing. Like you said, the example you gave, I forget which phrase you said, but another one, at the present time or something.
Exactly. Because, Tony, think about how most people learn how to write. You learn how to write when you're in school, especially when you get to college. So you're a college freshman and you have to turn in a paper and the teacher wants 15 pages. So as you write, you're just like, you're so effusive. You just like all these words come out of you because you know, gosh, I've got to fill up 15 pages. I need to sound smart and important. So you start writing like that. But then when you get to the real world, not that many people are looking for a 15-page paper from you or even a 5-page paper from you. They maybe need 5 words from you, right? Like a really nifty thing on a Twitter or a Facebook or in a postcard or something that you're sending to your donors, just a few lines to really get someone excited about something. It's not a 15-page paper or even a 2-page paper. So economy of words is really, really important to sort of change your whole mindset from that writing for writing's sake to writing for, you know, being exciting and being interesting and really making your point in a clear way that paints a picture in the person's mind.
Okay. And you're not being paid by the word.
No, you're not being paid by the word, not at all. As a matter of fact, you should be thinking of yourself as being paid for the fewer words. Maybe you get a bonus. Instead of getting paid like, 10 cents a word, instead you're getting paid like, $100 if you can do it in half the words or something, if you think about that.
Okay. You want charity clarity, right?
Hey, that's good. I like that. Charity clarity.
Okay,
ooh,
cool.
We're
just
always coining new phrases.
Change one letter. I know. I like this. Charity clarity. Cool. All right.
I came up with one the other day with one of my clients at the National Wildlife Federation, and we had something that at first seemed terrible. This thing happened, right, with the letter we were sending out, and we thought it was a terrible thing. But then all of a sudden we realized, wait a minute, maybe that's not a bad thing. Let's think that through. And so the phrase we came up with was horror and hope.
All right. Of course, I'm a fan of alliterations. I mean, we're here talking about Claire's cliches.
Oh, yeah.
So horror
exactly.
And hope strikes right at
right. So
the
when you're having a rough time with something, you think, well, maybe there's hope in this. At first, you're horrified, but maybe there's hope. Horror and hope.
Okay. Let's see. So your interest in this goes back because you're an old Radiohead, you did radio journalism. I mean, that's you got to be concise in radio journalism, don't you?
Absolutely, and that's where I come from. Yeah, I'm a nonprofit girl through and through, mostly in fundraising, especially with planned giving marketing, and that's what I do now. But my background is I was in the broadcast news business, so I worked in radio news as a reporter and an anchor at an all-news radio station, and I've also worked at CNN as a news writer, writing especially on some of the international shows. So what I always like to tell people is when they say, well, gosh, I don't think that I can explain our mission, you know, in 3 sentences, I don't think I can do that.
No.
I always say, well, you know what? I think if I could explain the Ethiopia-Eritrea border conflict in 3 sentences and
tell you the latest, what's going on with that conflict, give you some perspective and some background and what's next. If I can do that in three sentences, I think we can talk about your food pantry in three sentences.
I love how you drop names, too. National Wildlife Federation, CNN. You notice how she squeezes those in there? But they're admirable.
Well, they're the truth. And that's the thing, and it's details. And when you talk about writing, details are actually what make it interesting. Because as soon as I say, like, I was a writer at CNN, like, you know what that means. Like, you can picture that. You're like, wow, you know, when I see the person reading that on TV and I see the person covering that story, yeah, someone has to write that. So when I say National Wildlife Federation, that's, oh, it's a big nonprofit that, you know, that has a big old mission. You know exactly what it is. So details are really important in writing rather than a bunch of fluffy words that aren't any detailed.
Okay, charity, clarity. What I always love about CNN is the people who write the crawl. I always admire what the, you know, just for listeners who don't know what the crawl is, keep myself out of jargon jail, that those words at the bottom of the screen that are crawling across and describing, like you said, you know, Ethiopian-Eritrean border conflicts, but they're doing it in the Twitter space, you know, 140 characters or less. That's really amazing.
Right. It's sort of the original Twitter. When you think about it, long before Twitter, you had the crawl across the bottom of the screen, and the crawl started pretty much with breaking news. Even in your local television station, maybe there's something going on. You would see that. It would be like, you know, weather alert, you know, tornado warning in effect for these areas. So that's really where the crawl started. And then when cable news became all the rage, you know, they started doing crawls too. And, you know, think about the crawl, right? It's like you're listening to a story about the economy and business, but then there's a crawl on the bottom that's telling you like 50 other things, including the fact that Lindsay Lohan has been arrested again. So it's the crawl you can, and meanwhile,
actually,
while you're watching.
She just hit somebody in New York City, I think just yesterday.
I know.
She hit a pedestrian just yesterday.
Always
timely.
Out of proportion. He was just looking for the money.
Okay. Well,
see,
really,
that's interesting. So, if your nonprofit involves Lindsay Lohan, go for it.
Oh,
but we were talking about the crawl, and we were talking about writing for broadcast. Mm-hmm. And here's a really important thing that you learn when you write in broadcasting, and it's called the tease. And it's the little thing that you say before you know what's coming up.
I hate those damn things. I hate the tease. It's such a tease.
It is a tease, but that's the point. It's to get you to stay tuned.
Oh.
So, for instance, I just taught someone about writing teases. And teases, that's applicable, too, to, like, Facebook and to your blog, and, you know, headlines for blogs, to get people to come and read your blog, to read the post. So if you tell them what's in it, if you say, like, you know, unemployment is up 16%, you know, or whatever, then you've already told them the news, and there's no reason to stay tuned.
Yeah,
there's no reason for them to read your blog.
If you say,
you know, fascinating news about unemployment statistics coming up next.
Yeah.
You're like, oh God, I need to hear that.
I
know you're complaining, but the fact is that
they work.
Is doing a good job, and they work.
I know. I'm complaining because they work. They keep me teased. All right. I'm so annoyed. I got to send out live listener love because it's got to counteract my annoyance. Live listener love, Staten Island, New York, welcome. International, China, Nanjing, welcome. Korea, welcome China. More close to home, welcome Staten Island. Live listener love out to those three, as well as we still got California, Virginia, New Jersey, Georgia. It's incredible. Texas. Okay, I feel better. No, the reason I don't like the tease is because it works. But all, you know what really gets me about the tease is when they tease it, and then there's the commercial break, and then they don't fulfill, and then Wolf Blitzer teases it.
Problem.
And then he teases it again before the next commercial.
Yeah, that is very very annoying. And I do.
If I'm going to be teased like that, I want to pay for it.
And then if there's no real payoff, like if it's the greatest thing you've ever seen, like the greatest video you've ever seen in your life, then maybe that's one thing. But if it falls flat, which a lot of times those stories do, it's like you need to deliver. So let's think about that in your nonprofit writing. So you have a newsletter, and, you know, it's folded up four ways, right? You put it in the mailbox, and then it lands on your, you know, board member's kitchen counter with all her mail. And she picks it up, right? And it's folded over, and there's a little piece of tape. So you want her to open that. So if it's really like boring on the outside, well, maybe she's not even going to open it, and she's not going to open it for days. So the thing is think about what's on the outside and that little space that you have, write a tease. So instead of saying like news and information inside, well, that's real estate that you're wasting. Write a tease there. Say like, you know, what's the biggest thing that's happened lately? You know.
Right.
That was totally, I just
thought of that. I mean, I don't know what your biggest thing is. So even that's better than news and information.
News and information, yeah.
Look news how good information.
Look how good Claire is. See, I was ranting about Wolf Blitzer, and she brings it back to your fundraising newsletter on the kitchen table. So well done.
It's all about
so
you know, communicator. So it's thank you.
I know.
So
I'm grossly inelegant and. That's why Claire is associated with this show, to keep me in
yeah.
straits.
Okay. I'd like to give a little shout-out to the person who taught me everything I knew, and that was Bill Torrey, William Torrey, who's a network newscaster, worked at Mutual Radio News and NBC and everywhere else, and is a longtime D.C. news guy. And when I was at American University in the early 80s, I'm dating myself here.
Oh, my God. You were in college in the early 80s?
Oh, my God. I was in college in the early 80s. I graduated
Damn.
College in 83, along with my friends Julie Malkin and Angie Columbese. And these are all people now that, okay. that work for top-notch news agencies. And we were all in the same class together. We were young, 20, 21-year-old students in D.C., very excited about working in the business. And our teacher was Bill Torrey. And he came from the business, which was so important. Because in communication, sometimes you get these teachers that are academics, and they've never actually worked in the business. But Bill had worked, you know, in news and was probably working at the time we had him. And he would say things like, at the beginning of class, he'd say, okay, let's say something's happening down on, you know, DuPont Circle. How would you get there from here? And you know, some of the kids would be like, well, I don't know. I'm not very good at directions. But I would raise my hand and say, oh, Massachusetts Avenue, make a left. And it was really an
okay.
interesting way to see, like, who could be a reporter.
Okay.
So that was, you know, it's that practical stuff. So the writing that he taught us was great because he would say, just say it. So the classic thing I always remember.
All right,
Bill
one last shot,
us,
and then I got to just say we got to take a break. Go ahead, say it.
Oh, we got to take a break? Okay, well, I'll make it really quick with the word youth. Bill said to us, when was the last time you heard someone say, I saw three youths running down the street?
Youths, all right. I'm going to quibble with that one. Okay, we got to take a break when we return.
We'll quibble about youth.
We come back with Claire's Clichés, principal of the Plan Giving Agency, creative producer of this very show. You may be surprised to know that we have one, but you're listening to her. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Join the Metaphysical Center of New Jersey and the Association for Higher Awareness for two exciting events this fall, live, just minutes from New York City in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. Dr. Judith Orloff will address her bestseller, Emotional Freedom, and Greg Braden will discuss his latest book, Deep Truth, Living on the Edge. Are you ready for 12-21-12? Save the dates. Judith Orloff, October 18th, and Greg Braden, November 9th and 10th. For early bird tickets, visit metaphysicalcenterofnewjersey.org or ahanj.net.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back with Claire's Clichés and Claire Meyerhoff. And I just realized, of course, I mean, before every break, I tease, so I'm a hypocrite.
Well, you learn from me, so.
Yeah.
I've helped you build out the show, so I taught you about the teases and the breaks and things like that.
Right. Well, you didn't teach me that much. Let's not get carried away. I mean, you taught me a few things, but no, Claire taught me a lot.
How about your clock?
Considerably, yes, my clock, my timesheet. Okay, so youths. You know what? So, what's wrong with saying we do youth development or youth mentoring?
Well, I mean, that's fine if that's if you're talking to another person in the nonprofit sector. So say you're at a conference and you meet someone, and it's that's the easiest thing to say. Like, well, you know, well, what is New Beginnings all about? They see your name tag, right? It says your nonprofit, New Beginnings. What's New Beginnings all about? Oh, we're a youth development agency. That person that works in the nonprofit, they know immediately what that is. It's shorthand. But now when you're in the real world, if you meet someone at a cocktail party, and perhaps they're your next big donor, and they say, oh, well, what do you do? Oh, I have a nonprofit called New Beginnings. Really? Well, what's that? Oh, youth development. The person might be like, let's say they don't work in schools or anything even remotely related to that. Yeah, they're gonna tune you out instead of saying, well, gosh, you know, we help teenagers that are really having a rough time, and they come to us failing in school, and they come and we have a program where they come every day for 2 hours, and by the end of 6 weeks, they're, you know, now they're getting, you know, B grades, and they all have an after school job.
Right. A detail, much richer. And yeah, but just, you're right. Don't write for people in the nonprofit world, because a lot of times you're not talking to them.
Right, because, you know, shorthand is fine. Jargon is fine when yep. you're talking amongst yourselves. And sometimes you come up with your own jargon. Like my favorite client is the National Wildlife Federation. We have a term called blah, and it just means, like, make stuff. Like, oh, we have this new thing all of a sudden. She'll say, well, we need to blah. And that just means we know what that means. It's like, okay, we got to come up with, you know, like, the mailings we're going to do, and then we're going to write these things, and we're going to blah. We have all these things, and we already know, like, what that means. But I can't go to someone else and say, let's blah.
Right, of course.
That shorthand that we've come up with, just so.
Now you have a blog post.
We work together.
You have a blog post on this subject, which has a list of jargony words, a big list of words and phrases, and we're going to talk about a couple of them. But why don't you tell people where they can see your comprehensive list of jargon offenses?
Well, I'm a frequent or sometimes frequent writer and blogger for nonprofitmarketingguide.com, which is run by the marvelous, esteemed Kitty LaRue Miller, who is really just a genius. And I tend to write for her all kinds of stuff about the media or related to the media. So I wrote a three-part series recently about jargon and cliches and writing more concisely and writing more
okay,
for your
where,
audience.
Where can we find it?
At nonprofitmarketingguide.com.
Nonprofitmarketingguide.com.
All
okay.
one word, or there's maybe a link to it on your. I'll have to put it on your page.
Well, you're welcome to put it on the show's Facebook page and also the show's LinkedIn group too. Don't forget LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn.
I will do that.
Okay.
So if you go, you know, you go to nonprofitmarketingguide.com and you'll see the blog. And I'm right now. I'm the second post, my most recent one. So
okay.
it's titled Jargon, Jargon. We got jargon.
We just have about 90 seconds left, Claire Meyerhoff. What's wrong with despite the fact that?
Despite the fact that it's just long, it's long. Why would does anybody say that when you're talking? Despite the fact that no, it's just but.
Okay, all right. I might quibble with some of these. Not that one. I don't really like despite the fact that. Let's see.
Well, it's funny. It's like these are from Bill Torrey, my college teacher.
I know.
He had these years ago, and you know they're collected from different sources,
cool.
like the
all
BBC, right. the AP. You know, put together by some of these teachers at American University that he worked with, like Lincoln Ferber and all those guys. So these are lists he's just kind of had around, and he scanned them and sent them to me, which is a wonderful service.
What if we render assistance to people? What are we render assistance to?
Would you say, I was driving down the street and I saw this poor woman and she had a flat tire, so I immediately pulled over and rendered assistance?
I would not say that. I would probably say something more like help.
Yeah, I pulled over and helped her.
I assisted. I wouldn't even say assisted. Right, helped.
Right, and the thing is, when you use long stuff like that, you know, you could put more details in there. So instead of saying, I immediately pulled my car over to the side of the road, you could say, like, you know, oh, she was down on her, you know, she was sitting there on the ground, and she looked so sad trying to figure out how to use a jack. So I came over and helped. So I helped her.
We have to leave it there. Claire Meyerhoff, principal of the Planned Giving Agency, and this show's creative producer. Claire, thank you so much for being on again.
Thanks, Tony. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Even though it's been 2 weeks in a row, still my pleasure. Bye, Claire.
Bye, Tony. Thank you.
I hope you'll be with me next week when Emily Chan will return. She's one of our legal contributors. She's going to be alone. Jean will not be with her. She's from the Nonprofit and Exempt Organizations Law Group, and she'll have something interesting, and we'll have some fun around the law. Have you joined our LinkedIn group? You heard me mention it, for Pete's sake. Join the group and I'll stop saying it. You can post your follow-up questions and the guests will answer on the LinkedIn group. I host a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. It's called Fundraising Fundamentals. It's a 10-minute monthly podcast, and that one is devoted to fundraising topics. It's on iTunes. It's on the Chronicle of Philanthropy website. If you like this show, please check it out. It's called Fundraising Fundamentals. Wishing you good luck the way performers do around the world. I'm keeping it up. I did Italian a few weeks ago. That was in Bocca al Lupo, remember? And the answer was Crepi il Lupo, in the mouth of the wolf and let the wolf die. But since we had the real Italian Rosanna Imbriano on today, Michael Castaldo helped me out, and we have another version of the Italian. As we romp through with the Italians today, Michael Castaldo taught me in the ass of the whale and let's hope you don't take a shit, which sounds much lovelier as in culo alla balena. And the reply would be speriamo che non caggi. So I wish you this week in culo alla balena. I hope it's comfortable in there for you. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Hard to believe, but it's true. Sam Leibowitz is our producer, line producer, and the show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. The remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. Oh, how I hope that you will be with me for another live show next Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting. Listening live at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, this is Nancy Tatro from Speak Spin Radio. Speak Spin Radio is an exploration of the world of communication, how it happens and how to make it better, because the quality of your communication has a direct impact on the quality of your life. Tune in Mondays at 2 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com, where I'll be interviewing experts from business, academia, the arts, and new thought. Join me Mondays at 2 p.m. and get all your communications questions answered on Speak Spin Radio.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. be more effective, be happier, and make more money. Improving communications. That's the answer.
TalkingAlternative.com.